Well, since Pastor Don has already put his sights on you, before you speak, I'll pray for you for protection.
I appreciate it.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, again, all kidding aside, Father God, that Lord, when we come in your name, we always have a good time, Father God. But Lord, your word is very near, very important to us, Father God. Your word is not a laughing matter, Father God. You give your life, Father God, so this word could be spread. And Father God, we're accepting that life and your word this morning. Father God, I thank you for choosing a young man like this, Father God, to bring forth your word this morning. Father, I pray that you just open our minds and ears, Father God, that we'd be able to take in what you're trying to tell us this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, it's all yours, Matt.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. It's good to see everyone. Today I want to talk a little bit about pressure. And more specifically, with my title is Going Through the Pressure to Get to the Promise. And this all kind of was spurred on, and I think my dad mentioned it last week, mentioned Jesse's teaching at the Saturday morning men's breakfast. Yeah, you, I'm talking to you. Where he talked about the things he had to go through to get to the some of the promises in his life. And that kind of started a spark in me to talk about this today. So the main thing I want to talk about, though, is the pressure. It's, you know, something we all have to go through in our life, in one way or the other. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, whether you're, you know, however you say, you know, rich or poor, young or old, married or not, whatever situation you are, football coach or electrician, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to have to go through some sort of pressure in your life. No one's exempt from that. But the thing about the pressure also is that even though it's the same word for each one of us, and we all can say, "Hey, I'm under pressure in this situation," or I feel this pressure here. It's not going to be the same for everyone. It's not going to be the same kind of pressure. It's not going to affect you in the same way. It may be a similar one, but a good example of this is like last week, my dad spoke here at the Bible study. So, and this is what I'm doing now. So same kind of pressure, but different, because not only did it not come at us in the same way, but we didn't handle it in the same way also. He is much more methodical and much more prepared a lot of times than I am in these teachings. And he works it, like, I saw him a couple weeks before he did his teaching, and he's like, "All right, I'm working on it." And he's on his computer, and he's like, "I'm not sure exactly where I'm going with this, but I'm going with it." And mine was Monday or Tuesday. So, and usually that's, you know, how I am when it comes to that stuff. I kind of procrastinate a lot, which not necessarily a good thing, but that's how I do things. And I've begun to learn to trust God more and more that when He gives me something, to trust, not to worry about how necessarily I sound up here, but if I'm speaking what He's given to me, then it's going to work out no matter what. And like I was saying about differences in pressure, I mean, even the people sitting next to you, if you look at them, they have way different pressures in their life than you do. And so some you can relate to, obviously, but we're all in different stages of life and different situations. Like, I probably can't relate to a lot of things that go on in Pastor Don's life with the pressure that he deals with, because he's already been through a lot of things that I've been through, and now he's in a new season of life where he's dealing with things. And the pressure of dealing with us alone is enough.
but just kissing up people.
Huh? No, I'd never.
Don't
I'd never
sing my
do that.
Praises, son. I'm a lot older. I've been through this. No pressure, brother. Keep going.
And so, like I said, we all deal with it in a different way. We're all different. We have separate DNA. But in that same way, it'll touch it. Like, if, and I'm just reiterating this point, that if, like, say that I am dealing, like I said, with my dad, we're dealing with the same pressure, it may. And certain people, and there's other people in here that have done these teachings that can relate, that sometimes it's a pressure that you can, it can overwhelm somebody, and then somebody else it doesn't even hardly affect. Like, I can imagine people that have been doing this for years come up here and they're standing here and they're totally in their element. They don't have any problem doing this.
Don't believe that. They just learn to not show it.
That's another way of dealing with it. And for myself, I feel the pressure. I feel the nerves. I'm learning to trust God more through that. But I do feel it. And some things hit you harder than others. And it's not, you know, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when your different pressures in your life are going to hit you. And so a good example of the, and it was something that I wanted to bring up, is in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9, which is just basically Paul writing about and speaking about his ministry. And it says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Now, I'm sure for a lot of us, and I know specifically for myself, we know this verse fairly well. It's sung about in songs. There's songs we do here that mentions this. It's talked about in sermons, and it's a fairly well-known verse and common verse that's used especially in the church. And it's one of those things that's it is an encouraging word, for sure, no doubt. But I also, in reading this through this past week, and God bringing this to me, which at first I didn't understand why he brought this to my mind, but it kind of started to give me, I started to look at it from a different angle, I guess you could say, and I started to see it as kind of a little bit of a warning as well. Not only is it encouragement, but it can be, we need to use it as a warning also, that, and I want to show you a little bit what I mean here. And it says, where it says perplexed. And for those of you who are like me or wasn't exactly sure what that meant, it just basically means that, you know, uncertain or worried is perplexed. That's what it means. And it says perplexed, but not in despair, struck down, but not destroyed, hard-pressed or pressured on every side, but not crushed. So wait a second. You're saying that those things are possible. It's possible for us to be in despair. It's possible for us to be destroyed. It's possible for us to be struck down. Those things can happen if we're not handling that pressure in those situations in our life. We can be crushed. And many times, like I said, we don't see that aspect of it. We just see that, you know, and we think, and I know for myself, I in the past, I'm the first one to admit that I've thought that, hey, since I'm saved, that means that none of those things are really even possible for me because, you know, God's got my back and I don't got to worry about it, which is true. But there's also how we handle it that plays into whether or not you can be crushed. Because just because you're saved doesn't mean those things aren't going to affect you if you're not doing what you need to be doing. And like I said, it's important how we handle it. And whether or not, how we handle that pressure, if we're going to thrive under that pressure or fail. It's going to cause, and I don't know how I thought of this, you know, illustration, but it's going to cause one of two things to happen. You're going to have an implosion or an explosion in your life. Your actions will decide which one of these happen. An implosion is what happens when you're either not handling that pressure correctly in the right way, or you're not even worried about it. You're running from it. And a lot of times that can happen. I know I've ran from quite a few things in my life in the past. Tried to run from this. It didn't work. And it begins to influence, it'll begin to influence your decisions in your life, and letting the pressure influence your decision and make those decisions for you instead of God making them for you, instead of your ultimate source making them for you. You'll begin to spend less and less time with people who are of like mind, who are believers in Christ, which some people don't think is important. It's very important to be around people that are of like mind and to be in the church and to be with the people that are, you know, sons and daughters of Christ. It's important for your why. It's important for your walk with Christ so that you can, like it says, iron sharpens iron. To be with other believers is crucially important. And through all this, you're definitely not seeking guidance, because another thing with handling pressure is you sometimes have to reach out and you have to seek guidance from others. And when this implosion begins to happen, you're not doing that. That's something that's the farthest thing from your mind. You can handle it. You don't want to worry about what anybody else has to say. And ultimately, you stop seeking Christ first in your life. That's the ultimate implosion. That's what's going to happen. And it's not just going to affect your spiritual life, but it'll also affect your spiritual life. Both will implode very quickly. And we've seen many people come through here that's happened. I'm sure Pastor Don could tell you many stories of people that have come through here and everything was going good and they figured that they could handle the different situations and pressures in their life and they didn't need anybody here, they didn't need God, and they moved on, and where are they now? Nowhere to be found. Which is sad, but it's a reality of what begins to happen. Instead, we allow that pressure to crush the hope we have for those promises that he's given to us in our life. They get destroyed. In an implosion, if you've ever seen something like that, it just happens from within. The outside looks fine, but it all caves in on the inside. But with all that being said, that doesn't have to be our fate. There's another option. And what I want to talk about now is how we can allow that pressure to cause an explosion. Letting it mold us into the person that God's called us to be and he's made us to be. In, you know, preparing this teaching, like I said before, it's given me a new perspective on pressure, on the purpose of that pressure in our life. And it's for our lives as believers. So, and I'm sure a lot of you can attest that those promises in our lives, you know, when he gives us those promises, like Jesse talked about a couple weeks ago, we think, for myself, you know, I've thought a lot of times, okay, well, that's fine, Lord, and I appreciate that, but this is going to have to happen before that promise comes to pass. You're going to have to take this from me now because I can't handle this pressure. It's weighing on me too much, and I don't see how I can push through to that point that where that promise is going to happen. So you're going to have to take this away right now, and it's going to have to end, because ultimately we don't like. I mean, some people, when you talk about like sports and everything like that, some people they say he thrives under pressure. Doesn't mean you necessarily like it. Nobody likes to be under pressure. It's not a good feeling in any way. It also has a lot to do with your perspective on it, but it's not something that we like to have kind of thrust upon us. And we don't allow, but what God's been kind of showing me through this is that, and that I haven't realized really before, and that some of you may not either, but it's realize that the pressure, he's designed that pressure to push us and mold us toward to be able to be that person, that child of Christ, to be able to receive those promises. And a lot of times I can say for myself too that sometimes if I didn't have pressure, I would never accomplish anything. Because a lot of times, especially like whether it's, whatever the situation may be, but like professionally, if you don't have a pressure to push you towards a higher goal, then you're never going to get there. And God uses that uses that pressure to teach us things, whether, I mean, give you some examples, whether it's perseverance, humility, love, gratefulness, kindness, patience, wisdom, and countless other things that he uses to teach us. Think about it this way. If, say you have a kid, somebody is raising a child, and they're given whatever they want, whenever they want. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I really like what you're, words you're talking about, pressure. And I really love how you say each one of us is different in certain situations. I was under a lot of pressure this week, and I know Kim could relate. She was on my mind, so I asked her to pray for me. I'm so thankful for our church because we have one another. We need these teachings. We need what you're saying because it aligns us to say God is saying you're on that right path because there's something that you're saying that's speaking to us, each and every one of us. But I was under a lot of pressure because I had to go out and sell my business. And I felt so empowered. I felt like it was so great, so wonderful. And I know the hand of God was with me. It was, whether it was for me just to talk to that to those two individuals, it was. But the pressure that we were under to do what we had to do to go south was it was overwhelming. And then, of course, the enemy comes in to try to steal what God is preparing you to have. And those promises that we do need to hang on to, and we do need to claim and proclaim what God has already spoken over each and every one of us. Like there's words that have been spoken over me by Pastor Don or Bob or Eddie, and Ken have actually said very specific things that are happening, and we need this. We need this. Each and every one of us need it. On Sunday, we need it on Monday, we need it on Tuesday. So I'm so thankful that you're preaching this because it's so in line. And each and every one of us, our struggles and our challenges, they're for a reason. They're not just because it just so happens that you're here. No, it's for a specific reason, for the growth that he's going to give me up here. But it's coming. It's coming. So I thank you for sharing that word, Matthew.
Amen. That's great.
Quick story. Relax, brother. Relax. No pressure on you. Because a lot of times people think, you know, the pastors, you know, they got it all together and what have you. It's true, Fred. It's true. And I was thinking as Esther was telling her story, you know, that... What kind of pressure? The other day, I'd received a phone call from this guy that owns this multi-billion-dollar business. And he wanted to talk to me about doing some things down at the park. One of the fathers of the girls that play for me was telling me what was going on. And so he wanted to meet me for lunch. And, you know, so I'm thinking, oh, God, what kind of impression am I going to, you know, is this guy going to be able to joke around or is he going to be, you know, is he going to be a serious, you know, and you go through all those things because you want to present yourself. And it's like, hey, he wanted to purchase what they call an infield groomer, which is very expensive for the park down there, which is really one piece of equipment that they need, you know. And I'm thinking, all right, God, you put this in my hands. Please don't let me screw this thing up, you know. Not that I would ever do that, but, you know, yeah, that thought did go through my mind. And so they take me in this building. This company owns, like, you know, 40 acres down there off of Clark. It's called Ideal. So anyways, I went down there. I'm just kind of, you know, praying, all right, Lord, give me the words and blah, 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 blah. But they're still feeling that pressure, like, hey, if I make a bad impression, you know, this park is not going to get this. And this is really a very important piece of equipment. So I go in there, and I'm kind of standing. They introduce me, and, you know, everybody knew each other except me. I didn't know anybody in there except the father of the girl that plays for me. And all of a sudden, this lady came out, and she started hanging on the one guy. And, you know, they were joking around. He's hugging her and all that. And so I go, hey, is this your wife? And all of a sudden, they just both started laughing, you know. And I looked like, you know, I thought they were. You know, she goes, no, no, no. And then, you know, she kind of walked down the hallway. And I said, well, by the way, I'm an attorney. And if you need a good attorney for sexual harassment, I'm available. Well, she just started cracking up at that point. And she goes, I like you. You got a good sense of humor, you know. So I'm still kind of feeling my way through, and he takes us out to this restaurant, and there's a family sitting over there. And I sat down, and him and the other guy, they went over there, and I'm still thinking, okay. And they call me over to the table. I'm like, okay, who are these people? He goes, so this is my dad. He started the business. And he looks at me, and he goes, you are the whitest Mexican that I've ever met. Well, at that point, you know, I couldn't help myself then, and so we hit it off really good, and ended up getting. But still, you're sitting there thinking, I don't want to blow this. You know, are they, you know, will they like my stupid sense of humor? You know, if I say something that's inappropriate, blah 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 blah. But by the end of the lunch, yeah, nice outfit. but by the end of the luncheon, he told me, he says, you know what? I'm going to get that groomer for you guys. Wow. And then he said, I'm going to make a donation every year in $1,000 to the girls there for the softball, for what you're doing. He said, because I've shown them videos and that. So it was just incredible, you know, that how God opens doors. And, you know, you're going to feel that pressure one way or the other. I don't care who you are, you know, because, you know, God gives you a lot and then you're responsible for a lot. And I'm just thinking, God, I know this is not for me. This is for these kids. This is for the park. Make it a lot better. And, but I remember, you know, just going in there like, okay, thinking, you know, and we all have that, whether it's a job interview or business or whatever it is. So don't think that someone, and like you said, we all have those different levels of pressure that face us. And, you know, but if we seek out God and we say, God, you got to direct this, you got to give me wisdom, and you'll find out that He'll help you get through that one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Matt, one more comment. Somebody back here. Oh, this gentleman.
Sorry, I don't want to put more pressure on you to finish. Yeah.
Okay, good to know.
No, I just wanted to say, talking about pressure, one of the big reasons why we feel pressure is we have deadlines, right? We have deadlines throughout life. We have deadlines at work. We have deadlines when we have to do a teaching like this. I mean, if Bob came up to us and said, you know, why don't you just, when you're ready, pencil yourself in, or just, you know, let me know when you think you're good with doing it. And no, you got to pretty much commit to a date, and then you have a deadline. But if we think about it in a positive, that it helps us stay focused and stay on point so that we don't, you know, procrastinate like human nature, like we like to do. Yeah, and, you know, Matthew at work, if they're working on a house, and, you know, they got to get it done by a certain time because things have to happen with that house or with a business. And myself at work with programs, it's, you know, if we look at the deadlines as a positive, that, you know, and look to Him that he's helping us stay focused by saying, okay, I got to be done in a couple weeks, then, you know, we stay on point. So.
Mm-hmm. Back, kind of bringing it back to what I was saying to kind of more illustrate this point, I guess, is how I was saying that if you have, you know, a child that's allowed to have and do whatever they want whenever they want it without consequences there and without guidelines, without having to work for anything, how are they going to, are they going to be able to turn out to be a well-respected, humble, hardworking adult? Of course not. It doesn't just happen that way. You don't get to adulthood and snap into it. I can attest to that. It doesn't all of a sudden you just do this whole adulting thing that they call it. It's a gradual process, and it's being trained as a young child to be that hardworking man that can lead not only his family but others. And in the same way, we have to experience that, like he was saying, we have to experience that pressure to be able to come through those trials. It's not just going to be handed to us, and to where the point that once we come through that, we can appreciate the promise. We can, I don't know what even the right word is to say, but by going through all that and learning that, we can accept it, because if we're just given it, then what is it worth? I mean, the things that Christ had to go through weren't just easy things, and He went through them so that we could have those promises. Amen. And it gives us a greater appreciation on those things. We can be truly grateful. And also a big part of it is, too, why we go through those things, is that when we experience those things, then we can take that knowledge and that experience and help our brother and help someone that is in need. And that's, a lot of times, it's even more important than our own, than benefiting ourselves. That's the reason why we have that, to pick somebody up to when they're being crushed by the pressure in their own life. And Sammy brought this up the other couple weeks ago about bearing each other's burdens, and something that we as a church need to come together more and do that with, and be close to the people here, because if we're not close to people who are of like mind and are followers of Christ, then who are we going to be close with? Who is going to be able to bear those burdens in our life, and vice versa? And so I want to, and with all that being said, it's whatever you say, that's fine. But what I think is really cool, and God brought this to me, and I never thought of it this way, and he gives us a plan to fulfill that, to handle that pressure, and not just say, hey, handle it and do it right. No, he gives us a way to do that. And in Luke 22, 39 through 46, it says, Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw from them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him to strengthen him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to his disciples. He found them sleeping, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked. He asked them, get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. So, was he under pressure at this point? This is right before he was crucified. This is right before he was handed over to the Romans. And there's several different accounts of this particular passage in the New Testament, and I'll get into that in a second. But there are kind of like four, I guess, points that I wanted to go over very quickly. The first one is the promise. Jesus had the promise. He knew what was going to be fulfilled in that situation. So he had that preview of that promise, which a lot of times is what God gives to us. He'll give us a preview of what is to come so that we can hold on to it. The second thing that I saw, and I never noticed this before, and I thought it was pretty cool, that it says, where it says in Luke 22, 39 through 40, where it says, he went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. So it says, as usual, to the place. So what that tells me is that this wasn't a random thing. This place, Gethsemane, wasn't just somewhere that he saw down the road and say, hey, I'm going to pray there. It says it was his usual place where he went and spoke to his Father and got on his knees and just sat at his feet. And what that spoke to me is, do we have that place? Because a lot of times, throughout our day, we're seeking God, we're praying, we're asking for this, that, blah, blah, blah. But I think what he's trying to illustrate here is that it's important to have that place where you go, and the only thing, and that time, the only thing that you are doing is sitting at his feet. That's it. And just talking with him and letting him speak to you. I think if he felt like it was worth mentioning, I think we should listen to that. Jesus thought that it was important to have that space. So if Jesus thought it was important, how much more should we think that it's important and hold it in that regard? Now, what I was saying about before, where there's different accounts, I want to look now at, for the third point, is in Mark 14:32-33. It says, which is the same passage, just a different gospel speaking on it. And in 32 and 33, it says, they went to the place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. It's a little bit different than the first one. He sits down, all of his disciples, except for these three. Why these three? I mean, he had a great they were his disciples. They were his 12 disciples, and he loved and had a great relationship with each one of them. But these ones were different because he took them deeper into the garden, and he felt comfortable enough to have them with him in that situation. It speaks to us as that it's important for us to have great relationships with everyone in our lives, and there are people that'll be close to us and people here that will be close to us, but it's also very important that we have those people in our life that we have that deeper relationship with, that we bear their burdens on a daily basis. Because people, and I don't know, why I'm bringing this up, but a lot of people talk about how the verse, and I will paraphrase very badly, but it's where it talks about no temptation will overtake you except what is common, and God will never give you more than you can handle. Well, a lot of people take that out of context, because I think he gives you those people and those ways to handle it and to allow that to mold you into the person that you are supposed to be and you need to be. So it's, like I said, it's important for us to have those people to carry those burdens. And so the final part, which would be the fourth part, which should be the most obvious and is also the most important in this scenario. And this part, I want to go into Matthew 26, 40 through 42. And this is after he tells Peter, John, James, and John to sit down farther into the garden and pray. And it says, then he returned to his, and this is after he went and prayed for the first time. It says, he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. So with those other three things being said, there's only one 100% guaranteed never to fail way, and that is going to our Father himself. Because like we see here, they ultimately, even the people he took, the 12 were close to him, the three were closer to him, and even through that, they eventually failed him. And you'll find through your life that even, not completely, but a lot of times, people even closest to you will let you down and will not be there when you need them sometimes. And so ultimately, God knew that. Jesus knew that. And so he went to his Father and said, Lord, your will be done, because I'm alone here, basically. And I was thinking about this when I was doing the teaching, where it says, you know, everybody knows that saying, I think, that where it says that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Well, I didn't hear in there anything about us. Because a lot of times when people ask us how we're doing, or friends will try to talk to us about something, we'll be like, no, I'm good. No. Most of the time, I can speak for myself, maybe not most of the time, but a lot of the time, I'm the farthest thing from good that I could be. And so it doesn't say we're good. It says God is good all the time. So if you can realize that, and not only realize it, because I'm sure we all realize it in some way, but actually walk it out and not be afraid to go to him and to go to others and to be able to hold on to the promise that he's given us, it's such a freeing thing. And we need to be, and this is all kind of in closing also, is that we need to allow that pressure to prepare us for the promise, to prepare us to receive those promise that you talked about, and not compromising in any way. And you're going to have other pressure to compromise, But let that push you towards Christ, towards that explosion in your life where he's the only, where when people come around you, that's all they see. You don't even have to say anything. And they know that you belong to him. And in the same way, Jesus felt this pressure. And it says he was, in one part it says he was sorrowful to the point of death. He felt that pressure, but he knew that if he fulfilled and he got through it, that the ultimate promise would be fulfilled. And that, which is ultimately the reason why we're here today celebrating on this Easter Sunday. And he went to that cross. He died for our sins, and he fulfilled that promise so that he could give us those promises in our life so that he could fulfill them through us. And so I want to leave you with, and it's a sports quote, but I thought it was good. It's a quote from Babe Ruth, and it says, "Don't let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game." In other words, and the main point I wanted to express today was that, and wanted people to be able to take away from this, is don't allow that pressure to keep you from pushing through, to keep you from pushing through those situations. Because if you let it push you towards that explosion in Christ and towards him, and ultimately that's be your whole purpose, then you're going to find out that not only are you not striking out hardly ever, but you're hitting a whole lot of home runs in that way. So that was a little sports analogy there. But that was the main part that I wanted to get through. And I wanted to bring up this verse also to close. But it says in James 1:12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test of the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." I want to be that person. I want to be that man who's stood through the trials with Christ pushing me. So that's what I've got today. So I hope that was...
Give him a hand. Very, very good words, very deep words from a very young man. I think when I... But how old are you, Matt?
22.
This man is up here sharing the word of God. It is great. I'm going to ask Brian to close. Is that all right?
Yep, that's great.
Thank you so much, Lord, for all the work that Matt put in for this lesson, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that we would retain, Lord, everything he said, Lord God. And, Lord, that we would not only retain, we put into practice, Lord God. We feel that pressure, Lord, that Father, you know, we're not there alone. We have you, Lord God, to help us with that pressure. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we also thank you for today. Bless the service, Lord God. We welcome your Holy Spirit here today, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.